again. We are back again. Kid, please continue with what you were saying about the globalization.
Well, since we're looking at the end of it, you have to start thinking, well, how does this affect us? Now, a lot of people are going to have a hard time wrapping their arms around the idea that globalization is going to be the end of that it's going to come to an end at the end of this decade. A lot of people are just going to have a hard time understanding that. But a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their heads around the idea that global warming is happening as fast as it's happening. I mean, the melting of the glaciers in the Himalayas is happening. It was supposed to be down one quarter by 2050. And now we are looking at right now, it's down two thirds. The glaciers in the Himalayas, which provide water for five big countries, India, China, five big countries, is down two thirds. It's just happening faster than people know. And where you live, you know, right now you're saying, well, it's getting cooler faster, but it's not uncomfortable yet. And we're getting a lot more water, but you're up in the hill. And so you're saying, well, you know, sure, I'm getting a lot of rain up here, but, you know, it's not flooding us out. Well, you guys are in a pretty good spot for all that. But globalization will come to an end at the end of this century. I mean, at the end of this decade. So what does that mean? That means that when this decade ends, we're going to be looking at the end of iPhones. Before this decade ends, we're going to be looking at it won't be like one day you'll wake up and there aren't any iPhones. It's like it's going to be a slow, progressive end iPhone. And people will hold on to them. They'll say, well, I'm going to hold on to them. My iPhone has suddenly become more valuable. I've got an iPhone 7 Plus, and it's more valuable now than when I bought it. Now, but be careful, because it requires an internet. And that internet is going to become more expensive. Have you looked at your streaming services lately?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you noticed anything different?
Not really. I watch Netflix, and that's about it, really. I don't really use streaming service that much.
Have you looked at your Netflix bill?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. It's just doubled. And this is, why is this? People are grappling with this. A lot of people can't understand the concept of broadband and where it comes from and what it does. But all you really need to understand, even if you're a guy that makes his living with a chainsaw out there cutting firewood and selling it beside your travel trailer that you live in, is all you really need to understand about the internet is that this is the use of wavelength that is unusable if you don't have a device that is capable of transmitting and receiving on that link, on those bandwidth. That's really all you really need to know. And
check it out.
So we're in a spot right now where at the end of this century we will be experiencing patchwork fall throughs in this internet and in the ability of your device to work. There'll be winners and there'll be losers, of course, because we live in a purely capitalistic society. Purely capitalistic. And I'm really worried. I'm worried about a lot of stuff. Probably my biggest worry, the biggest worry I have right now, I'm not worried about us returning to 1956. You and I come from 1956. We know all about 1956. We were practically minted in 1956. So we really understand what it means to live in a world without broadband. We do. But what really concerns me is election subversion. And with and what the people who are involving themselves in election subversion right now are doing is they are reducing the amount of faith that people have in their government and that people have in their ability to have some say in what their government does. And if they reduce that to a certain point, it's going to be like any other kind of currency. It's going to become worthless. And then I'm going to come back. I'm going to circle back to what you asked me to explain. And that is why I believe that we're on the cusp of a civil war. I think that civil war is going to come about because I think that people like Steve Bannon and I'm sorry, folks, but Steve Bannon and Roger Stone and a lot of people like them are bad people. They are bad people. And the reason they're bad is...
I'd like to chime in on that. I want to agree with something on that. Something that bothered me. Now, this folks, this is, he's liberal, I'm conservative. I don't like Roger Stone. And the reason I don't like him is, I listen to this guy, and I read articles about him, and he's made a living manipulating people's minds, public minds. It doesn't matter what the truth is. Whatever little trick that he can do, whatever little gummy bear that he can throw out there to make you vote the way he thinks or his boss thinks you ought to vote. Stuff like that. And there are a lot of people that admire that. Oh, my goodness. Look how smart he is. No, he's a professional liar. You know, he's a professional liar. And people get to listening to those professional liars. And they explain just, well, this is the way politics is done these days. This is the way it comes, the way it happens and everything. And that's not the way it's supposed to be at all. Not the way it's supposed to be at all. And I remember when I first started voting way back in the last century. That grabbed you. Way back. And you would go, in Texas, we would go to the polls, okay? And you go to vote. And we would vote for whoever we heard the most out of, basically, and who we liked what we heard and everything. And really wouldn't look at the little letter behind their name that much. That much. It was never, now that the politicians, it's a very, very, very big deal. Very big deal. Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Can't you get over this? And the other thing is that, and they voted along party lines, and they voted. We can expect this bill won't pass because the Democrats control the Congress and everything. I thought these people were supposed to go in that room and they were supposed to listen to the speeches and then formulate their opinions and their vote according to what they heard, according to their reason, and according to what they thought their constituents would think back home. Okay? Back home. And if I'm from Central Texas, and this guy's talking about limiting the oil production in West Texas here, and he's from Maine. No, I'm not going to vote for that. I'm not going to vote for that. That's stupid, because the environment will be messed up. Well, this guy from Central Texas don't care about that. He don't care about that. All he cares about is a lot of his constituents are in the oil business, and they're working for the oil derricks, okay? And that's the way it's supposed to be. But you get people like Roger Stone in there and everything. and they have these agendas, and they come up with all these little storylines and all this stuff, and it's just like one thing I forgot to put in my article today, Ted, that I got to go back and do a small edit. Well, I can't; it's already published. But people worry about people like us, like me and you, who write op-ed, you know, and they say, well, it's going to get bad. You can't have an opinion. You can't be a liar and all this kind of stuff. All magicians are liars. They fool you with what they show you on the stage. Women can't be solid in that. Penn and Teller can't shoot each other in the mouth with a .357 Magnum. That can't happen. That's an impossibility. You know? I mean, but the lies, when you get magicians who are running for Congress, and they're showing you this, it's the same magic act. It's the same magic act. And then you buy into it. And then, and like you said about the Civil War, I think a Civil War takes a couple of areas of the country that suit up and go at each other for a common cause. See, the Civil War 101 had a common cause. The people up north didn't want slavery. The people down south did want slavery, and they went at it. You know, they went at it. If you have a civil war now, most of the country is suffering from what they did with us with the COVID thing, the inflation, all this kind of stuff. And we're all under this thing. Well, we're going to have a civil war. Who are we going to fight? Each other. You know, who's the enemy?
You know, it's so funny. You just sat here and changed my mind entirely about what I was going to say next. I had everything figured out what I was going to say next, and you just changed my mind entirely about it. I want to say this, and that is, there's a great deal of similarity between slavery and oil, okay? Slavery was an economic model. That's all it was. Now, you can bitch and moan all you want to about how slavery, you know, is... Well, but look at the moral turpitude of slavery. You know, you complain about that all you want to, but the truth of the matter is, it was a way of making cotton. It was a way of making cotton in a way that was profitable in a world that needed cotton at the time. Cotton was the oil of the 1800s. Okay, in the late 1700s, and now we're looking at oil, and oil is the same thing. It takes lives, and it takes property, and it takes it turns people into slaves. Oil does, and I'm not talking about you and me and our cars and our pickup trucks or whatever. I'm talking about the people that have to produce that oil. I'm talking about the people whose land is being destroyed by the wars over that oil. So oil is the new slavery. It's the new cotton. But it's really all about slavery. And I think in the end, it's always going to be that way, in one form or another. I think that capitalism, when we partner up with Mexico, I just think people are going to be looking for ways to make more money. And so let's pay those Mexicans less than what we would pay under other circumstances or somebody else. Or, you know, let's find some way to make some money on this. And they will look for ways to do it, and they will be political ways. And I think the civil war that I'm talking about is really not the suiting up and gathering, getting your musket and your knife and your bayonet and all that, and going off to fight under some general. That's not the civil war I'm talking about. The civil war I'm talking about is going to be like when Texas does what Texas is going to do. This is what Texas is going to do. And it's not just Texas. There are several states that are going to do this. They're going to take all of the people of color, and this means people that are in big cities. And they're going to say, hey, you guys are a district. You're a district. And then they're going to go out in the country and they're gonna find places where there's 12 people or 112 people or 1,200 people or whatever. And they're gonna say, "Hey, you guys are a district," and there's gonna be a bunch of districts out there in these rural areas, okay, that are roughly the same size as these cities. They'll say, "Look, it's about the same size as the city, but it's gonna have like a hundredth of the population." And they're going to say, "You guys are district," and that way they'll have enough they'll be able to make lots of congressional districts out of these rural districts, and a few districts out of these heavily populous districts. And you're going to see minority rule. This is called election subversion, and it's a type of war, and the people in the cities are going to revolt in the ways that people in cities revolt, and there's not going to be a lot we can do about it. I don't know what the answer to this is. Nobody's come along and said, "Hey, you know, let's put Ted Clevenger in charge of, you know, fixing this problem that we have." So and I don't know what you would do about it. I'm not sure what your answer would be. I'm quite certain, after all the years of friendship that you and I have, that you would come up with something that you felt was humanitarian. I'm sure it would have humanitarian aspect to it. But the truth of the matter is that capitalism has no humanitarianism to it. There's nothing humanitarian about capitalism. Capitalism is based on one simple principle, and that's growth. It's cancer. It's like cancer. Cancer is built on the principle of growth. Let's get this tumor started. It'll be little at first. Nobody will notice it. And then when it gets big enough to get noticed, it'll be big enough that they got to do some cutting. But we'll extend some little parts out to here and there, and we'll get into another part of another organ of the body or something. And that's how people die. And that's how countries die. That's how nations die. That's how civilizations die. And we want to think that we live in a republic, but do you really think that we really actually resemble a republic right now?
Well, no. After reading your article today, and it's not. I'm going to do the artwork in the morning and everything, and get it ready. It's the lead article tomorrow, but. After reading your article, the way you studied the preambles and the way you call it like a preface of a book, well, you don't really have to read it unless you want to, you know, and the meat of the matter is really right over here. And then taking the Constitution and you let the lawyers microanalyze it, you know.
Right.
And they get in there and such simple, I think the founding fathers put such simple ideas down. The Second Amendment, the first freedom of speech, and I jumped on Alex Jones a little bit in the first of this show, but to be honest with it, if you didn't like what Alex said, all you had to do is change the channel. If you didn't believe what he said, and Ted and I didn't believe what he was saying about Sandy Hook, and we said it out loud. Don't do that.
Yeah, we called her up. We called her up. We sent them emails. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Dallas, there's a bunch of dead kids, man. You can back away from this, okay, and everything. Oh, hell no, I'm selling pills, you know, or whatever. And that was another thing. You talk about out-of-control capitalism, and this, I'm going to put my finger right on it, okay? I heard something during that last court hearing where they brought up the fact that a lot of the pills that were coming through that organization, not Extendivites, y'all, we're good. About all Extendivites you can get. but a lot of his stuff had lead in it. Lead. You know.
Well, anything you're trying to say, you know, I'm against that. But I'm not against the idea of selling. I mean, that's how he, if you watch these shows like Alone or Survival Man or something like that, you know, you have to struggle against death. You have to struggle against it. And that means, so I'm not against people coming up with stuff to sell. That, you know, that, you know, and And if it's not harmful, and somebody wants to buy it, I've got nothing against that whatsoever.
No, I mean, in
the least.
No. But sometimes, go down to the simple cures. And when we talk about Puck and her diabetes and everything, which I'm glad she's not here right now. She'd be hitting me in the head with a mop. But
I'm glad. I wouldn't want to be there either.
No, but see, she gets high blood sugar and then real low blood sugar. Now, she doesn't have a pancreas. There's no battery in that car, you know. And that's how she goes. She has a computer attached to her arm and a little gadget in her hip pocket that broadcasts her readings to her doctor, me, and Pam. Okay? But we discovered something about a month or so ago when she had high blood sugar. Apple cider vinegar. And it's not an old wives' tale. Dr. Missy told us, why don't you try a shot of this and see what happens when she goes high before you give her a bunch of insulin and see what happens. And we did. She went high up to about 300 one time, and we poured her a shot of apple cider vinegar, and bada bing, bada boom, she came down about 100 points. Real simple stuff, you know. But like I said, if you can come up with a medication or something that makes you feel better, I'm taking something called Curevax right now. I can't remember the exact name. It's on the back porch. It's got ginger in it, Ted, and a couple other things. And it says on the label for joint health, you know. And I took it for a couple, 3 days. And it did help my right knee. It really did. You know, I got up and forgot my walking stick. I forgot my cane. And I thought, I better go get that thing. I'm going to need it, you know. But it really does help. But then regular medications do help, too. And that one thing they were trying to do with that bill that they passed, where that lady said, the Congress won again, you know. Well, I take blood pressure medicine, and I take vitamin D. Okay, and if you can bring the price of that down, it's better. I don't need money, but it's a better day for me. You know, if you can bring the price of it. I think about the people who say they're supposed to take 2 blood pressure pills a day, and they don't have the money, so they take 1. And that, now, Ted, that goes right back to what you said. We need a little pinch of socialism. We got to fix it where that little old lady can take both her pills, morning and night.
Right.
Okay?
We do.
Because that's only human. That's only human.
Yes. Yes. And Christian.
Yeah. You know, in all these people, and then we're going right back to the myth, what I call the myth makers, you know, the Roger Stones out there who make their bones making up these myths, and everybody has to buy into it. This guy from Arizona, I can't remember his name now. It's been a couple of months since I was on the show last.
Rusty Bauer. And,
yeah, well, he plowed into me really good and everything, and he was nothing but a series of sound bites that he heard off of Fox News.
I'm thinking about a different guy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's sound bite after sound bite. Nothing made any sense. Nothing added up, but it sounded good. It sounded good, and then I tell you about the lady I was talking about, the congresswoman again. There are a whole bunch of people like that out there, and I feel for them, because when I talk to them, they'll tell me something like this thing with Trump going on today. And now, Will Johnson, y'all look him up on the internet. He's out of California.
I remember Will Johnson.
Yeah. He caught CNN and I think NFCBC in a lie, in an out-and-out lie, where they said that Donald Trump was at Mar-a-Lago flushing papers down the toilet when the FBI showed up, and then he showed the video at the same time where Donald Trump was actually in New York. But
yeah. he was in a grand jury hearing.
Yeah. You're going to have people on both sides of the aisle who totally believe the particular lie that they're subscribing to, you know? And that's what I tried to tell the lady. And that's why I was telling y'all an hour ago, sometimes we're harsh. Sometimes the butcher shop is harsh. Well, so-and-so said this, and I watched her on the news, and I believe, what do you think about that? Well, it was a lie. How can you say that? Like this, it was a lie. She fed you what she was given to feed you. You know, you're not stupid. You're not that bad a person, but you've got, like the lady asked me just a while right before the broadcast, well, how can I know what to believe? Use your brain. When it sounds outrageous, don't buy into it. And nobody got shot in Sandy Hook. It was completely crisis actors, and it never occurred and everything. And George Bush flew them planes into the Trade Center. That's a lie. It's just a lie. And it's designed to keep us apart. Because if you don't buy into the lie, if somebody doesn't buy into your lie, that means they're the enemy. They're on the other side. No matter what your
comment. If it is inflammatory, it is almost certainly a lie.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've seen people get crazy mad when I tell them that. How can you say it? Because it is a lie. That particular piece of information. But I heard it on the news. Oh, God. Lord, I'm sorry I'm thinking this. I promise I won't think this no more. I saw it on Facebook.
You just might as well leave that notion alone right where it is, Billy. You know? Facebook.
Yeah.
Just leave it. Facebook, Meta, whatever it is.
Yeah,
all the social media. The only thing I can say about this deglobalization and the loss of semiconductor chips and the other electronic gewgaws that are necessary to make an internet. The only thing that I can think of that is really, really great about this is we won't have to worry about Twitter and Facebook anymore. And Instagram and TikTok, you know, I'm so done with that.
Yeah, that is so silly. I was reading a psychological paper. Believe it or not, I was reading that, Ted. A psychological paper.
No, not that.
Oh, no. Well, I got a talking dog, folks. Anyway, I was reading a paper saying that kids now, and you parents out there need to listen to this. I'm going to be dead serious. I asked Puck. She read a book. She had to read a book for her English class. But she said, I can't remember it. I can't remember stuff like that. Because with TikTok, she's been trained to remember 15 seconds at a time.
Right.
That's it. What she sees is some girly man with a man bun on his head, and he's singing to somebody else's tune, you know, I got a booger on my nose. And that's it. That's it. And our kids are being trained to do that. All you got to do is remember 15 seconds at a time. Don't worry about anything else. Just pick, and it's somebody else's input and somebody else's idea, not yours. It's somebody else putting that up there, and you're not original. Puck and I have gone through that argument 100 times because she's in the media business, folks. She's really training to be a little star. She's really the real deal. You're going to hear from her. And I tell her something, and you really hit a stone wall on this with these kids, with these Z generation. But why don't you like TikTok? Because there's no money in it. That's why. There's no money in it.
No joke. You haven't made anything.
No. You're not creating anything. And she brings up her mother.
That's how you make money, is you make things.
Yeah. You know, I told her, I said, yeah, like when we were on YouTube in 2007 with Jackie and everything, and I said, she went on, and she, honey, she wrote all of her scripts. She wrote them. And then she came up with a plot. And then we set the camera. And we made like a 15 to 30 minute little movie and everything. And not mimic or mime somebody else's 15 seconds of their song. There's no talent there. Oh, you just don't understand. You're just old-fashioned. No, I'm not old-fashioned. I'm not old-fashioned. That's why your biggest hit movies, when they come out and say, my God, box office extravaganza, it's made some more money. they're usually the simplest ideas. Simplest ideas. All the razzle dazzle, new age movies and everything. Yeah, they make some bucks. They make some bucks. But the monsters are, they're new film, new video effects and everything, but they're right back in the 30s. Right back in the 30s. I said yesterday, I watched a movie called Candy. A lot of you people out there never heard of that movie. It was a little raunchy back in the day. Okay.
You think?
We ain't gonna go there. This is a Christian network. But anyway,
let's not do that.
I watched it on free TV, and all the questionable scenes had actually been cut out. You know, on free TV.
It must have been a short movie.
God heard you say that. Anyway. But anyway, there was some good humor and good lines in it. It had Ringo Starr, it had Marlon Brando in it, James Coburn.
All kinds of people. What's his name? Burt Lancaster.
John Astin. I mean, they're some major stars. And like, there's one joke, and I can tell this on the air, and you adults will catch this. So I'm going to tell you something real interesting. There's a scene in there where the college professor, Aunt Candy, gets caught in a compromising position with a guard who's played by Ringo Starr. And they make up the decision to send her off to New York to school. And the professor and his brother are sitting on the couch. And the professor's saying, oh, we're getting all these awful phone calls now. They're harassing us. And about that time, the phone rings. And the brother, who's kind of a rogue, you know, he gets, let me take this one. I'll show you how to handle it. So he goes over there and says, hello, Christian Sporting House. Oh, is that a fact? Well, your sister's here, and she's made over $200 already. Yeah, you have a good day. And the boy.
I love that scene.
That's a good scene, boy. The 14-year-old boy is sitting here. I was laughing, and they said, what's so funny? I said, well, didn't you hear what he said? No, but that doesn't make any sense. But I had to explain to him exactly what it was, and it still wasn't funny to him that John Astin had insulted callers like that. And then the classic part of Marlon Brando playing an Indian guru in the back of a semi truck, you know. And the entire section, they didn't understand. We tried to watch The Godfather. And I said, how you pay attention to the way Freddie Corleone said he didn't never meet Mike or Johnny Ola. Never met him. And then Michael, his brother, hears him in a stag show saying, oh, yeah, Johnny Ola knows where all these places are. I said, see, he caught his brother in a lie. They're in the mafia. And his brother lied to him. That's very dead. How did he know he lied? And these kids do not, they're not being trained in this. They're not, they can't look beyond comprehension. And it's universal, except for the new baby, Ted. That little Democrat, he's got it all. He's got it. But we're losing them. We're losing them. What do you think? You're a psychologist.
Well, the biggest problems that we're facing are this, and that's mistakes that were made by previous presidents. We've been losing ground since Reagan. Reagan was a terrible president. I know that. Anybody listening to me out there, please. Please don't feel any hatred toward me for this, but he was a terrible president. You know, it was his intention to put the working man in his place, and boy, did he ever accomplish that. He really did accomplish that in a big way. Then we get Bush 2, who was a pretty good president, I thought, but. Nobody liked him, and none of the people in the Republican Party liked him because he wouldn't go after the oil that was in Iraq. they wanted him to go after the oil in Iraq, and he wouldn't do it. And so they got rid of him. And next guy comes along as Clinton. And Clinton, you know, people, I don't know. You know, I mean, Clinton left us with no outstanding debt in this country. So he was a fiscal hawk. But he really did dismantle our federal banking, and he dismantled our central bank, and he dismantled our market, and he just dismantled a bunch of things that were crucial to us. And then when Al Gore came along, Trump keeps crying about this, you know, having the election stolen from him. He's got all these guys that remind me of that thing that was in Jabba the Hutt, you know, folds
yeah,
his back,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that pop out, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna relitigate the 2020 election. Oh, for what? If you want to relitigate an election, you need to relitigate Gore's election, because it's the exact same thing happened. They attacked the public attack a big public force that was led by militarily and police trained forces attacked a place where they were counting votes. They stole votes, run them out of there, and on forklifts, literally on forklifts, and threw them away in dumpsters and burned them, and it had this big thing about hanging Chad, and people should know that the Supreme Court, which has 9 representatives, has 6 of them are Catholics, and all 6 of them were on Trump's. We're on the George Bush election committee, or in one way or another, they were involved in electing George Bush, and none of them recused themselves. Not a single one of them recused themselves, as would have been the honorable thing. It's not the legal thing. They don't legally have to do that, but it's the honorable thing. So you got these 6 dishonorable people on the Supreme Court. And you guys, all you guys listening to this that think that you're going to like this, I just really want to hear what you have to say 5 years or 6 years or 7 years from now. I'd love to hear from you. I wish you'd call me up and tell me how much you love it now, you know, because you're not going to love it. So It strikes me that we need to stop talking about changing our election system. I mean, we went from literally not having any can you remember a time in your life when people didn't trust the election process, the electoral process, Billy, ever?
Well, Ted, it's like I keep telling people all the time. They say they want to go back when the elections were honest. All right, look, here's the deal. You don't trust the election, the voting machine, all right? Well, back in the day, what you had was, you had old Edna and her 80-year-old twin sister sitting up till 3 in the morning counting the votes. And you just know they didn't miss any of them. So it's always a muddy proposition. It's always that, okay? And we're a republic. And when you get down to the way the country is designed, we are a republic. We are not a democracy. And now, oh God, listen to these two communists. No, we're not a democracy. We're a republic. Because it's impossible to get 315 million of us into the Congress room. So you can't
count all those white and black rocks, can you?
No, that is why Rome beat Greece. And think
right.
about that, because Rome had a Republican type system. Well, they had like 50 or 50 senators, and they ran the whole show because when they were actually appointed or bought in, but they were still senators, and they would make decisions on who to jump on and how hard to jump. And the Greeks had white and black beans, and the whole country had to vote. So while they were voting, the Romans were coming over the hill.
Well, and Greece was a system of warlords, and Rome had something called the rule of law. Now, we still have the rule of law, but if we're not careful, it's going to slip away from us, folks. But if we're not careful,
you know,
we're going to lose the rule of law. We're going to lose it.
You know, what gets me, and going right back to what I was saying before, like I said, I don't agree with what Alex Jones said about Sandy Hook. Okay, but, and it sounds corny as Pop-Tart, but here it is. I don't agree with what he said. I think he was wrong. As a matter of fact, I thought he was stupid. As a producer who's made films and who's made records and who's written books and who's written articles, I thought it was a stupid thing to do. But he had the right to do it. He had the right to do it. And if he didn't like what he said, shut up. You know, and people said, well, people went up there and they shot at these people and parents. And they did. Okay, well, that's because they're stupid, too. You know, if you subscribe to what Alex said, yay, okay, good, fine. But, you know, you don't take it to the hilt. I would listen to Alex Jones for entertainment because he was so outlandish. You know, entertainment.
Did you really find him entertaining, really?
Well, yeah. You ain't never watched Alex?
Man, of course I watched Alex. What right would I have to call him and talk to him if I hadn't listened? Of course I listened to him.
Yeah, I love his show. There's a lot of shows that I even watch The View every now and then because they're so stupid. You know?
I didn't watch that either, so.
Oh, whoopee.
They were stupid. You got that right.
Am I allowed to say something about Whoopi because she's black?
No. I if we're going to make this a country where we don't make color an issue, then we got to make color not an issue, okay?
I want so bad to be a guest on The View. I want so bad to do that.
Billy. You can't make it. Sorry.
I want to, in my life, I have a bucket list. And one thing on my bucket list is go swimming naked with Britney Spears, okay? Right above that, it's get on The View with Whoopi.
Well, you'd have to sit a good distance away from her. She takes up quite a bit of room.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. And I tell you something. I want to be on Dr. Phil, man. Yeah, we got a saying down in Texas. I'm not a doctor.
Man, that guy went south in a hurry, didn't he? When it happened.
I think. Well, all of a sudden, his wife had to walk him out of the studio every day. I noticed that.
Now, we probably shouldn't spend too much time on that guy, but. I think what we ought to do is spend a minute talking to our viewers about the end of globalism, what it really means to them.
Go ahead.
This is going to be meaningful to you, any of you who are, anybody who's out there listening to us.
Everybody out there is in our dumb butts. Go ahead.
Yes. if you haven't hung yourself off a milk carton yet. But I'm sorry. That was rude, but you know me, I'm kind of rude sometimes.
Hey, you can look like you feel awful bad if Greg really hangs himself, you know.
Don't say that. Come on now.
We just turned B's show into Howard Stern, just like that. Go ahead.
It's just like that. but that includes... Anyway, I don't want to make him have to hire more lawyers. I just want to say this, and that is that you folks, you're going to have to deal. You're going to have to cope with being in 1956 again. And for God's sake, you got to understand something. Us boomers, And there's a lot of boomers listening to this show. If there's anybody listening to this show, they're probably boomers. The only path forward for us is going to be moving back in with our kids. And that's a one-way street. It just simply isn't going to work. There's a dead end at the end of that street has a dead end to it. You know, most of us don't have kids that can support us, okay? Most of us, our kids are trying to live with us. And it's going to be a patchwork kind of thing. I mean, some people will have better pension plans than others, and some people will have more retirement money than others. So it's going to be, it's not going to happen all in it like a great big horrible train crash where it happens, you know, instantly, but it is going to happen, and it's going to happen in a rapid enough fashion that it'll seem like a big train crash to us. And what we,
I was just thinking, man, I'm gonna have to move in with a bunch of kids that can't catch the jokes in candy. Where's my milk crate?
Well, I mean, you're in a good spot. Your ex-wife is one smart woman, and she really understands the nature of what faces her. She is a survivor, and but I'm living in Texas, and Texas is stuck in what is going to be a part of the American desert before very long. You can talk, tomorrow, the next year be different, the next year. No, it's not. This is the new normal. We're going to have, in late May, it's going to hit 100 degrees every day, and it's going to be 100 degrees until fairly close to Christmas. Now, that's the way it's just going to be. And we'll have a few days where we might have an ice storm. Polar vortexes happen, so we might have an ice storm, but then we'll have an ice storm, and, you know, 4 days later, it'll go back up to 100 degrees again. So we are stuck in a part of the world, I am stuck in a part of the world, where it's going to turn into part of, if you just go west on 36, and you go to the other side of Abilene, that's a desert. That's a desert.
And yes, it's a desert. It is.
It's a desert until you get to the stinking water, okay? Until you get all the way to the Pacific Ocean. And we are about to become a part of that right here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing we can do about it. We can cry about it and recriminate about it and blame this guy and that guy and the other guy. Doesn't really matter. You know,
No. None
of that matters. We shouldn't waste our time on it. We need to start thinking about ways that we're going to survive it. And my wife is going to fight me tooth and nail, but my plan is to move up there close to where you're at. Because I think you're at is a good spot.
Pam brought this nonsense up. What do you think about us moving back to Texas? And I said, I don't think about it.
Bad idea.
Fine. Yeah, you have forgotten. You have forgotten sitting in the Mercedes and getting a sunburn on your butthole. I mean, you've forgotten that, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, plus she doesn't know anything about Comanches, and we don't have that many Comanches left. But the people that are left here are going to be like Comanches. You know, the only way to make a living is going to be through banditry, and so. You know, we're going to be looking at bandits, and we're going to be looking at climate that you can't live in unless you're a lizard. And, maybe Alex Jones was right to that extent. I don't know. But the lizard men. But,
Gay lizard men.
Gay lizard. Well, I don't know about the gay lizard. Gay lizards will probably die in Texas. But, And Louisiana is out because that's going to be Tornado Alley. It's going to be Tornado Alley from Louisiana all the way up. I'm not sure how far. I've been looking at the climate projections, and they're terrible. They're just terrible. And there's nothing we can do about it. We are living in something called the Holocene people. This is the Holocene epoch. All right? Now, this was designed by nature to last about another million years longer than it's going to last. But we decided that we were going to throw all this stuff into the ocean and into the air. And I'm not talking as a liberal. This isn't liberal stuff, man. This is human being stuff. You know, and there are plenty of Republicans that are saying the same thing. You and I were talking about Liz Cheney.
I will say one thing that you're right about. Back when I was in school, when we were in high school, and Ted, you can back me up on this. In Texas, summer's hell. I mean, summer was hell. Texas summer, they're hell. But the 1st of September, when you go back to school, you knew that very, very soon that first cold front would arrive.
Yeah, and because it cooled down to 85 for a high.
Yeah, well before Halloween, okay? But usually second, my birthday, September the 11th, sometimes around that time. And I noticed each year that cold front gets later and later and later.
And when it comes, it's colder and colder and colder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. This isn't a liberal conservative or Democrat Republican thing. And that's, I think, what Billy and I are here for. You know, we got a few minutes left, and I really want us to get across to anybody that's listening. We're not here to talk about the differences between liberals and Democrats, because there aren't any differences between us guys. You know, there aren't. There just aren't. The cultural issues are stuff that we can put behind us. Literally, we could put these things behind us in 4 weeks. In four weeks, we can put all this stuff behind us. This transgenderism and you know, I mean, all we need is a couple of things. One of them is some common sense. You don't turn boys into girls and girls into boys.
Nobody.
You just don't. Well, I don't care. I don't care what anybody believes. I'm just saying. You don't do that. That is not a thing to do. If you want to let them do it when they become adult and they can afford to do it on their own. You remember when you wanted this and that and the other, and your father said, "Well, as soon as you get a job and move out of the house, you can do it." Well, if you're a kid and you say, "Well, I think I'm really a girl," then your dad and your mom need to say to you, "Well, okay, as soon as you get your own job and move out of the house, you can do that. You can turn yourself into a boy or a girl, okay? But until then, you're a boy. You're what you are, okay? And as far as gay stuff is concerned, you know, I really think that we just need to have some tolerance. You know, as far as I'm just talking about liberal issues right now. As far as abortion is concerned, I think at 22 weeks that ought to be the end of it. That's a viable fetus. You shouldn't be killing viable fetuses. Those are human beings. Before that, they're not. Okay, and so a woman ought to have some kind of choice in this, but. But this whole business of, well, if you've got an ectopic pregnancy, you got to carry the dead baby in you until you're dead too. That's a bunch of BS. And now, as far as conservative issues are concerned, you have a broad spectrum of things where conservatives need to back up a little bit. You know, there's no way that a guy ought to be able to wake up on his 18th birthday and go down and buy an AR, two AR-15s, and 375 rounds of ammunition, and 40 clips. It just should not be something that can happen.
No,
it's just not.
And you know, there should be some common sense at the gun shop. Now, this guy at the gun shop walks in, I want to buy two AR-15s and 700 rounds of ammunition. Why? Well, no, why? Why do you want to buy that gun?
Well, I'm going to go shoot 700 deer down here in Uvalde. Because there's so many deer in Uvalde, I mean, we got to get rid of them.
Yeah. I mean, a simple stuff like that. I mean, that, you know. And another thing, we're running out of time here, but something else we really need to do. I heard something today that made so much sense, I couldn't believe they said it. If we're worried to death about Brittany Griner and her little, we're all yelling and hollering, you got to let her go, Mr. Putin, you got to let her go. And why don't you let all those prisoners go in our prisons that are under the same charge? Why don't you do that?
Yeah, she earned that. I want to end whatever part of the broadcast I have by saying this right now, and that is, if you are a liberal or a conservative that have alienated yourself from your family, you need to get up tomorrow morning, and you need to make peace with that family member or those family members or your good friends. You need to make peace with them, because your life is short. Your life is short, man. And I'm going to tell you that there's really not that much difference between you guys. There's just not that much difference. Billy and I never. When's the last time we had an argument, Billy? Can you think of it?
I can't remember.
Why is that? It's because we love each other. So if you're, I don't mean like, and you know what I don't mean. So all I got to say is make your peace with the people that you love, because hard times are coming and you're going to need each other. You're going to need your whole family and your whole support system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was without my family for 11 years. 11 years.
And look at you now.
I lived in the desert. And I don't mean... Anyway, in the land of surveillance, the man with the third eye is king. So educate yourself.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Next time, we're going to feel hardcore. Keep it real. Take her earth pill.
Say hello to my little friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women. That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.